When my daughter was really young, she found this little bird that had fallen out of the nest, and she took the bird and she started nursing the bird back to life, and we thought she was wasting her time because we thought the bird would die. But she bandaged the bird up, took it in the house, fed it, and all of a sudden the bird was healthy and she saved the bird. Have you ever asked yourself, you ever wondered why God would save you? Why would God send his son who is sinless to live 33 years, be betrayed, denied, beat, crucified, and die for you, a sinner, for me, a sinner? And not only did he do that, he did it while we weren't even thinking about him. I mean, we were just doing our own thing. This is exactly the situation Paul found himself in. Paul was trained in the Bible, Old Testament. Paul was a Pharisee. He's a very well-trained rabbi. And here he is persecuting Christians, arresting them, beating them. And when Stephen, the first Christian martyr, was killed, there was Paul approving of the murder, of the persecution. And here he is doing all these things in the name of God, and yet he was doing it against God, because one day he was going to Damascus to arrest Christians, and the Lord appeared to him, threw him to the ground, and said, "Paul, why are you persecuting me?" And then Paul said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And I want to read and pick up the story. Here it is, because here's a guy who is fighting against God, yet God would see it in his heart to come down and save him. But why? And why would he do the same thing for you? It says in Paul, in Acts chapter 9, he says, "I want you to arise and go to a street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas, for one is called Saul of Tarsus. Behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight." So what Paul did, he was in this house, and God tells one of his servants, Ananias, to go to this house and to find Paul. And then Ananias says, "Lord, I have heard many things about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem." I mean, Paul's reputation was widespread. Everyone knew he was an enemy of the Christian. And so here Ananias is asking, "Why am I going to go help this guy? God, why did you save this guy?" And the Lord said, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." So here God is telling Ananias, one of his disciples, "I want you to go to this house because Paul is there. He's blind, and I have a plan for his life, and I want you to go help him." And Ananias cannot figure this out because Paul is an enemy of the Christian. But yet God had a bigger plan for his life. So I go back to my original question to you. I don't know where your life is at with God. I don't know if you know God or not. But why would God save you? There was a very specific reason. And when Paul started to figure this out, he not only submitted to it, he committed his life to fulfilling the purpose for which God called him. And the reason it's so important for you to know the answer is because the motivation of your life needs to be to reflect the original intent that God has set on your life. My favorite part of the day is going to sleep, getting into bed, wrapping up like a taco or a burrito, getting the covers around my feet, just wrapping up real tight, going to sleep. And my favorite part of sleep is dream, going someplace different. And the thing about dreams is that you actually go to a place that's like reality, but not really. You have emotions, feelings, you can see stuff. You can hear stuff, you can move around, you can feel stuff. But the most frustrating thing about dreams is that when you're in the dream trying to run, but you can't. You're running, but you're like in slow motion, or you're walking in slow motion, or you're trying to reach something. And you feel like you're being held back and you're striving. And it's so frustrating because you know you can do better when you're awake, but you just feel like you're struggling and you're striving. Sometimes life is like that. Every day you're living trying to be happy, you're trying to be fulfilled, and you feel like you're striving, swimming upstream, going against the wind, that something's holding you back, and you can never achieve what you're trying to achieve. You never can achieve fulfillment. You seem like you never get ahead, and sometimes we have pressure in our lives to please people, please parents, please coaches. People have an expectation on our life, and we can never seem to please them. We can, at least in our own mind, we can never seem to live a life satisfactory to the expectation put on our life. Some of you may be like that. You may even have fear every single day. Am I going to be able to do a good job today, or whatever your job is, or whatever your life is all about. Paul seems to say something similar in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verse 7. He says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. In other words, everything I have, I throw it away so I can gain Christ. And then he says, yet indeed I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as garbage, trash, that I may gain Christ. Then he says in verse 12, not that I have already attained it, or am I already perfected, but I press on. I want everybody to listen. I want you to say with me on the count of three, press on. One, two, three, press on. One more time, press on. Paul says, I count it, everything I've gained in life as garbage compared to gaining Christ. And he says, I haven't gained him yet to the degree I want, so I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward for those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of Jesus Christ. And what he's saying is, I'm not striving to please man. I want Jesus Christ, and I want everything God has for me. So I asked my same question that I asked you in the beginning. What did God save you for? What are you living for? Are you striving to please man? Are you striving to please your parents? Are you striving to get approval of man? Or are you pressing to please God and to do what God has fulfilled in your life, and to have God fulfill in your life what he originally intended your life to be? Just shortly after I received the Lord, I was still playing football. I went on a missionary trip. And right before we went on the missionary trip, we were told that the couple that was hosting us had a very tragic accident where the woman was raped in the presence of her husband. And I could not wrap my head around that whole concept, how horrible that must have been. And I remember thinking, I'm going to avoid this lady because I don't want to say the wrong thing. And I just felt uncomfortable. I didn't know what to do. And after the 9 days went by, we were getting on the plane to leave. She pulled me aside and she said to me, you know, you have encouraged me so much and you have the gift of encouragement. And I remember getting on the plane kind of bewildered because I spent my time trying to avoid her and avoid saying the wrong thing. And I was on the plane thinking, I'm an encourager. It was such a revelation to me because I never thought of myself as someone who encourages other people. You know, as you live your life and as you strive and press to please other people, you need to do one thing, and that's figure out who God made you to be and be that. I have since thought of myself as an encourager and tried to encourage people knowing that it works. I want to read something that Paul said about himself. It's the same couple of verses I just read a few minutes ago, but I want to look at one part of what he said a little differently. It says, not that I've already attained being like Christ or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Then he says, I do not count myself to have apprehended it, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I reach forward to those things which are ahead. What Paul's saying, I want to apprehend what Christ has apprehended for me. In other words, I want to be the person and exercise the gifts and talents that God had in his mind when he made me. It's one thing to read your Bible. It's another thing to pray. It's another thing to go to church and be kind and friendly and all that. And that's all great. But it's a whole nother thing to understand how God wants to express himself through you. Some of you are teachers. You need to know that, and you need to teach really well. Some of you are evangelists. You need to know that. You need to evangelize really well. Some of you are givers. You need to know that, and you need to give. And some of you are encouragers, some of you are prayer warriors, some of you are listeners. You need to know what the skills and gifts God has given you and exercise those with all your passion, because you are a very unique, one-of-a-kind expression of God, and he made you very specifically. So don't try to be just a general good person Christian. You want to be a godly, holy person, but with the unique gift mix and personality that God has given you. When the San Diego Chargers used to ask me to go speak, This is before I asked Christ to be my Savior. I would say no because I told him I'm not a speaker. How wrong was I to think I was not a speaker? And what a tragedy it would have been if I would have never discovered that that's the gift God had given me. So I want to encourage you. Find out what your gifts are. At your funeral, no matter how you live your life, there's going to be somebody at your funeral saying nice things because we always say nice things at funerals. But the million-dollar question is, will somebody say they knew exactly who God made them to be and they lived that life? They didn't live the life their parents wanted. They didn't live the life other people wanted. They lived the life that God wanted them to live and that God designed them to live. That's my challenge to you today. I know you want to be a good man. I know you want to be a good woman. And in a minute, I want to challenge you to surrender your life to be the person God called you to be. Some of you need to ask Christ to be your Savior, but there are a lot of you out there. You're saved, but you're not using your gifts. You don't know what they are, and you're just living your life your way. In a minute, I'm going to pray. And I'm going to challenge you after the prayer to stand to your feet, no matter where you are listening to this. And I'm going to challenge you to come forward. And we want to help you identify the gifts God has given you. We want to help identify the ministry you should be involved in, how you could start being the person utilizing the gifts and talents that God gave you and not wasting that you, so you can apprehend what Christ has apprehended for you. So right now, I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to bow your heads, and I want you to listen very carefully. And I want you to listen to my voice, but I also want you to listen to the voice of God in your heart, because you know who you are. You know that God wants more for your life. And so right now, eyes closed, heads bowed, if you're saying, Lord, I really want to be a good man. I really want to be a good woman. I want to be the person at my funeral, they say, they live the life God designed for them. And they maximize the potential of all their gifts and talents. If that's in your heart, I want you to pray with me. Dear God, I want to be a good man. I want to be a good woman. I want to be the person, the God-fearing, God-obedient person you created me to be. I want to maximize the potential of all my gifts and talents. So, dear Lord, I surrender. I surrender my fear, my lack of faith to you. I'm willing to trust you by faith and do exactly what you want me to do. So, Lord, right now, I surrender my life, my skills, my ability, my gifts, to you. I give them under your control. Dear Lord, take my life, take me by the hand, and lead me right now. Eyes closed, heads bowed. In a minute, you're going to be challenged to stand to your feet and come forward. And I know many of you are Christians who prayed that prayer, but you need to walk away from your old self, and you need to allow God to express himself in and through your life in the unique way he designed, but you need to walk away from your old life. And I'm going to challenge you to stand as well. Eyes closed, heads bowed. If you prayed that prayer, I want right now you to stand to your feet and acknowledge your surrender to God right now.